Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome, everyone. I don't know if you had the opportunity to take a gander at what went on over the weekend and this week, but it seems as though ex-President George W. Bush has written a new book. And in this book, he's talking about how important it is that we give amnesty to the people that who have come here illegally. There should be a path for citizenship. Well, that was one of the reasons why I could never stand the man. But the other point that he made was that President Trump was not humble enough to be president, be a leader. You're not supposed to be humble. You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to be direct to the point and tell it like it is. Nobody did that better than President Trump. In the meantime, we see a little connection here, which I also don't think people are aware of. And I want to go over that with you. And to me, that is the IBM connection to IBM now promoting the vaccine passports and tracking system for New York State. Well, there's a long history of IBM producing tracking systems, and we're going to be talking about that right now. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And part of education is being able to understand the past, which of course is never taught, so that you will understand the present and be able to not make the same mistakes for the future. And it looks as though New York is going to be making the same mistake. I brought on my wonderful friend, Alex Newman, who has done a tremendous amount of research. Please read his work in The New American. Phenomenal reports. Read his book, Crimes of the Educators. A phenomenal book. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. Do you see a connection with IBM doing a tracking system?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And there's no question. One of the little known secrets of Nazi Germany and World War II was that the rise of Hitler was largely financed and enabled by very powerful American interests. In fact, there's been many books written on this. I think one of the most important ones is by Stanford historian Anthony Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. But of all the American corporations that that made possible the atrocities perpetrated by Adolf Hitler, IBM is really one of the key ones, International Business Machines. And they actually created the technology that enabled, that made possible the tracking of people in Germany and the sorting and the data gathering and the data mining that made this efficient system of slaughter and internment possible in the first place. Now, the technology was very different back then. They were using these punch cards. But in principle, what we're seeing now is basically a repeat. The same companies in many cases are now involved with creating this crazy tracking mechanism where they're going to keep track of who has the vaccine, who hasn't received it, who's gotten their booster shots and all the rest of it. And again, the technology is itself neutral, but when it's in the hands of evil people, as I think it was in Nazi Germany, as I think it is once again, the potential for evil becomes even more significant than without. And so we need to be very careful about this. And I think the Holocaust and Nazi Germany really should serve as a powerful example of why we need to not just pay attention, but put restraints on these kinds of tendencies.
Make no mistake, because the same thing will happen. You didn't get your passport, you'll be tracked. Oh my goodness, you won't be able to drive. You won't be able to go visit anybody. You won't be able to buy things. You won't be able to buy a car. You won't be able to get a mortgage. You won't be able, won't be able, won't be able. All because you didn't get a vaccine. And who the heck knows what is in that vaccine? That is the big problem to me. So the next time you're talking about the Holocaust, and you wonder where those tattooed numbers came from as they reduced people from a name, a real identity, to a number on a card so that they could be tracked. Remember, IBM is the one that did that. And what do we have popping up? We have IBM right in the middle of New York State working hand in hand with Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I would keep track of all these people. Cuomo is one of the usual suspects, but you know, there's a lot of Republicans as well. You started off the program talking about George Bush. And, you know, if you look at the Bush family, there's a long history of this. In fact, Prescott Bush, who was a U.S. senator, he was one of the directors at Union Bank of New York. They were involved in financing the rise of the Nazi war machine. So we have a political class that has been repeatedly exposed, being involved in atrocities, in the rise of dictatorships. And by the way, it wasn't just Nazi Germany. The same historian I mentioned earlier, Anthony Sutton, did another phenomenal book, I think one of the most important books of the 20th century, on Wall Street and the rise of the Bolsheviks, of the Bolshevik Revolution in the Soviet Union. And they showed how major financial interests on Wall Street helped finance the rise of the Soviet Union, the Bolshevik Revolution, and ultimately empowering this mass murdering dictatorship. And we saw the same thing with communist China. And it's the same names that keep popping up again. It's these political dynasties. It's these major American businesses that really have no loyalty to America.
Absolutely. And that's why I always say everything is connected. You have to look at the connections. Everything happens for a reason. You have to look at their game plan. And all of their plans are built on lies. And that came right to the forefront when Project Veritas exposed what CNN was all about. Please don't think that these are isolated incidents like they would like you to think. And Prescott Bush, yes, he financed, but he also financed the company that developed the gas, which was an odorless gas so that people would not know what was going on in the gas chambers. So it isn't just they have financed these atrocities. They have participated in the mechanisms that actually make them work. And this is where we have Antifa and BLM. Where do you think they came from? We have to trace their lineage. They didn't just all of a sudden, as everybody says, oh, they popped up when George Floyd. No, they did not pop up at George Floyd. That was absolutely a lie. They have their roots going back further and further, leading right back to the same organizations that Hitler promoted to infiltrate into the populace of Germany so that, quote, people would report on each other. Does that sound familiar? China is now coming out with a new app so that the Chinese people can report on their neighbors and family.
They're rolling that out right now. And I think the infrastructure of this vaccine passport that they're trying to foist on us is going to serve potentially as the nucleus of this. Now, if you look at all the data they have gathered through fascist book and Twitter and Google and all the rest of it, they know more about an average American than an American knows about themselves. I mean, they're at the point now where they can predict what you're going to do and what you're going to go buy and what you're thinking and what you're going to search for. It's very, very Orwellian. And you bring out such a good point, and I think it's critical that we not forget this, that the same people who made possible all of these atrocities overseas are now working to perpetrate similar things in the United States. Another really good example is the Rockefeller dynasty. Right, we know the Rockefeller dynasty helped finance the rise of Adolf Hitler. In fact, there's a whole chapter on this in the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Anthony Sutton. The chapter is chapter 4, Standard Oil Fuels World War II, and talks about how the Rockefellers bankrolled and facilitated and sold all sorts of products, including oil and energy, to the Nazis. And then, you know, we saw also the Rockefellers being involved in eugenics. In fact, they were one of the Rockefeller Foundation was one of the chief financiers of Joseph Mengele, the sicko so-called doctor who was doing these grotesque experiments, quote unquote, at Auschwitz. And here we find them again in the modern day, financing Black Lives Matter, financing the Sunrise Movement, where they're radicalizing our children and teaching them terror tactics to bring down our civilization and to dismantle our police. And to go back to Black Lives Matter, you're exactly right. It didn't come out of nowhere. In fact, we have hacked documents that came out of George Soros's Open Society Foundation in 2015, where they discussed this idea that they wanted to create a quote-unquote black-led movement, and they actually even referred to it as Black Lives Matter. They were going to invest, they said, I think $615,000 to start off training a leadership cadre that could eventually take this and run with it. And they explained that some of the objectives would be to dismantle America's system of local law enforcement, which they said perpetuated inequality. So this was all outlined by very, very powerful individuals. And of course, we know that George Soros went on national television and said publicly he felt no sense of guilt or shame for having, as a child, helped the Nazis seize property from fellow Jews. That is very, I mean, who says that, right? Even if you actually believed that, which would already be, you know, evidence of psychopathy, who would say that publicly? It's just crazy. And yet we find these same people again funding these subversive movements that hate civilization, that hate God, that hate liberty, that hate everything that we hold dear. And Black Lives Matter, I think, is the culmination of all this. We see it perfectly. If you go to their website, you see, at least you did until recently, they finally took it down. They want to dismantle the nuclear family. They want to normalize transgenderism. They want to get rid of private property rights. We have all their leaders saying publicly that they are trained Marxists. We have Opal Tometi, one of the three women who created this, going down to Venezuela, posting a picture of herself with the mass murdering dictator of Venezuela and tweeting out that, oh, it's so nice to be in a country where they have intelligent political discussions. Excuse me, in Venezuela, the intelligent political discussion is if you disagree with the regime, we'll put you in a prison cell and we'll torture you and we might even come after your family. That is sick. And yet we see that the Black Lives Matter movement is funded by many of America's most powerful corporations, hundreds of millions of dollars from Amazon, from Google, from Facebook, from you know, many of the Fortune 100 companies pouring into this monstrous organization that has publicly declared that it is hostile to our families, to our liberty, to our private property rights. And then people wonder, how does all this happen? Well, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, folks. It takes money, it takes organizing, and it takes planning. And all of those are evident in the rise of Hitler, in the rise of the communist regimes, and now in the rise of the movements trying to take down the United States.
Well, one of the other things that you mentioned, eugenics, and I don't know how many people realize that William Gates Sr., that's Bill Gates' father, was a partner with Margaret Sanger when they created Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood was created for the express idea and goal to eliminate the Black race. And more, boy, have they evolved, and they are doing a tremendous job through their abortion clinics. But now we're finding out even worse. The transgender movement, I believe it being promoted again by Planned Parenthood, is because they're not making enough money right now on the abortion side. But if you take a child and you turn that child into a transgender by giving them puberty blockers and other types of medication, that medication is not a one-shot deal like an abortion. That medication is monthly, forever, for that entire person's life. And then the coffers of groups like Planned Parenthood will just escalate as they now begin to, I believe, going into the schools and actually recruiting vulnerable children who have no idea what they want, have no idea. Please, you have a problem in school one day and you're mad at someone and you want to become a different gender. And then the next day you want to be something else. And the next day you want to be something else. All you're doing is experimenting. That doesn't mean it should be a life decision. Now, I know, Alex, you have 5 children and you homeschool them. I believe that this transgender garbage is being infiltrated in our schools. What should parents look for?
Yeah, it absolutely is infiltrating our schools. There's no question about it. And I think there's a real misunderstanding that's incredibly significant. And that is this idea among a lot of parents, I think they're being ostriches. You know, they don't see because they don't want to see. But they think, well, you know, that maybe happens in California and Illinois and New York, but not here in Florida, right? I live in a rural county. I know Aunt Sally teaches at the school, and I have, you know, Martha serves on the school board, and she comes to our church. You know, that couldn't happen here. Well, it is happening. It's happening everywhere. And I was in Utah about a year ago to give, I think, 6 or 7 talks on education. And I had an opportunity to meet with some of their top education officials, multiple members of their state school board. And they gave me incredible data straight from the government's databases. This was data that came from the Office of, I think they call it Professional Licensing and Regulation. They regulate doctors and things like this. And so they have a database on drug prescriptions. Looking into this database, what they found was that the number of children in Utah who were undergoing what they describe as a quote-unquote medical transition, right? Transitioning, which of course is impossible. Every strand of DNA in your body testifies to the fact that you're either a man or a woman. But, you know, play along, the medical transition where they start injecting these girls full of testosterone, which of course sterilizes them, causes them to grow facial hair, causes their voice to get deeper, or, you know, on the other side, injecting estrogen into boys or puberty blockers into these children. So what they found, and all this, of course, is in preparation for surgical mutilation of the genitals, of surgical removal of the breasts of little girls, just absolute atrocities that even just a few years ago, almost everybody would have agreed somebody should go to prison for something like that. The American College of Pediatricians calls this stuff child abuse. Well, in the state of Utah, one of the most conservative states in the United States, the number of children undergoing these medical transitions, as tracked by the data, increased by 10,000% from 2015 to 2020. 10,000%. And, you know, anybody who thinks that it's something in the water or, you know, something like that is simply not paying attention. This is coming through the government indoctrination system that likes to identify as a school system. It's not a school system anymore. It likes to identify as that because it deceives naive parents, but we're not dealing with a school system anymore. We're dealing with a system that is indoctrinating, sexualizing, and really destroying innocent children.
And sadly, folks, that is their goal. The only way that this will work, the only way that their plan will work, is if the populace is dumb and doesn't pay attention. And sadly, we are playing right into their hands by allowing this to happen. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back with this incredible conversation. You're listening to Karen Schoen and my guest, Alex Newman, with the Prism of America's Education.
Incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen and my guest, Alex Newman, and you're listening to The Prism of America's Education. Well, I don't know also if you had the opportunity to listen to the Looney Tune in Texas, Maxine Waters, as she was spewing this past weekend that get in their faces if she doesn't like the verdict for Derek Chauvin. What right does she have to do that? especially after Trump being impeached for insurrection, for saying you must peaceably march to the Congress and voice your patriotic opinion. And he gets impeached while she runs around and tells her followers to get in their face and make more noise. How much more would she like them to burn down? What do you think about Auntie Maxine Loon?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty pleased that multiple members of Congress are now calling out this ridiculous behavior and calling for her to be censured and maybe even removed from Congress. We do not need wild-eyed subversives and communist activists in our Congress. This is very, very dangerous. It's, I think, evidence of at least subversion, inciting people to violence. Frankly, we've let this go on for way too long, Karen. It's got to be brought under control if there's going to be any hope of preserving what's left of our civilization.
You're absolutely right. And right after she said that, in Minnesota, the National Guard were targeted by a drive-by shooting. Yep. What do you think are going to be the results of words like that? And then, of course, we have the rhinos trying to eat us up alive also with, I can't even, John Boehner, who used to be the Speaker of the House, the do-nothing globalist Speaker of the House, who helped to lead America's path down to that of forced globalism, going and saying that Trump is responsible for what went on in June of this past year. It is absolutely amazing that, first of all, these people don't even read the FBI report, which is tainted to begin with. But now they are finding out that the person who shot Ashley Babbitt may not even have been a policeman. He may not have been one of the Capitol cops. He may have been a BLM supporter. Oh, what a surprise. What a surprise. Anything to make the Capitol, where absolutely no one was killed as a result of what went on in the Capitol because of any push other than an unarmed Trump supporter. And what they are ignoring are the riots and the destruction of American cities. We don't need a war outside. I believe we're having a war right in our own country. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I do think the establishment wants to try to foment a civil war in this country. In fact, Michael Savage just warned about that the other day. He used to be, I think, the second biggest radio host in the country until they deplatformed him and canceled him and took him off radio everywhere. But it does seem very much like the establishment wants to engineer some sort of civil war. They are radicalizing the population. They are fomenting and encouraging violence. And they're also silencing people in an unprecedented way. And, you know, typically the way a society and individuals resolve their disagreements is through discussion, right? That's how we have peaceful disagreements settled. We discuss and we debate and we have a back and forth conversation. Well, the establishment is trying to make that impossible. So I do believe that there is an effort, an agenda to get Americans at war with each other. And we see this down at the lowest level of the education system. We see them now teaching children that depending on the color of their skin, they're either victims or oppressors, and that they have to see themselves as members of these groups. And these groups are always and everywhere in conflict with each other. And the only solution is to tear down every institution of our society. This is the type of rhetoric that leads to civil wars, that leads to atrocities. In fact, I just read an article recently, an opinion piece for the Epoch Times that was published last week on critical race theory. And I interviewed a Chinese immigrant to the United States who lived through the Cultural Revolution in communist China, which incidentally, David Rockefeller, one of the big globalists that we were talking about earlier, boasted in the New York Times and said that the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao was one of the most successful and important in all of human history. So it shows you there's a long pattern of this. And what she told me, her name is Lily Tang Williams, very nice lady. I serve on some boards with her. And she said that as a little girl in China, she was forced into these government indoctrination centers pretending to be schools, and that they would basically teach the children that there were two different categories of people, two different classes. She explained that there was the black classes and the red classes. The black classes was where the landowners, the business owners, the middle class, the upper class, the people who kind of had businesses and prestige in the previous regime. And then she said the other class, the red classes, that was the landless peasants, the soldiers, the revolutionaries, the communists. And they just made it real simple for the kids. You're either in the black class or the red class. These two classes are always and everywhere at odds with each other. If you're in the black class, you're an enemy of the people. You need to repent. You need to turn in your family to the communist authorities. If you're in the red classes, you are the vanguard of the revolution, and it needs to be your personal mission to destroy the black classes. And so what happened? Well, we know. We don't have to speculate. Fast forward a little bit, and tens of millions of people were slaughtered. Little children were turning their parents into the Communist Party for torture and for actual extermination, because they were so ashamed of being part of the black classes. Come to America, and you know they knew the class warfare, that type of stuff, well, didn't really take off here in America. Because honestly, the poor people in America, they live in, 1,800 square foot houses, and they've got AC, and they've got four flat screen color televisions, and they've got two cars parked out in the driveway. It's really hard to convince these people that the rich are keeping them poor, because they're not poor. And so they said, hey, well, let's use the race issue as the fault line, which we will exploit. And it's the same principle. It's the exact same principle that the Nazis use, that the communists use, that totalitarians everywhere use. So they foment this civil war, you get society at war with each other. As the Bible says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And then the totalitarians step in after the chaos and restore order with tyranny as the end result.
And that is always the way, always. Nothing changes. There is nothing new under the sun. And that's why I say one of the easiest ways, well, it's never easy, let me rephrase that. One of the ways to help defeat this is to use their plan and change the outcome, because these people know what the outcome is that they are driving to. And rather than using facts to support the outcome, or to, as we would, we let the facts, we learn the facts, and then we let the facts decide where the conclusion is going to be. They know the conclusion and they design the facts to fit the conclusion. Well, when you're designing facts, that's called propaganda. Propaganda are a group of lies that promote an agenda. And that's what we're seeing. And we see that so easily with groups like Facebook. Facebook just gave, I think, $45 million to Black Lives Matter. So I guess the head of Black Lives Matter could buy another mansion. Then what they did was, on their platform, they went after anybody that said anything derogatory about Black Lives Matter, because now they have a vested interest in making sure that Black Lives Matter succeeds. And how do they do that? With propaganda, doing things like calling the demonstration, the riots, peaceful protests. How dare you talk about a peaceful protest? So in the meantime, our cities are burning, and anybody who tries to protect your property will wind up going to jail, like the McCloskeys. But people like Maxine Waters, who's out there with her megaphone saying, go get them. We're not doing enough. We need to have more and more and more confrontation. They go unscathed. They go unnoticed. Folks, this is really about us. We the people are standing in their way of total control. And that's the big deal. And we the people right now, there are more of us than them. But as kids begin to graduate using this critical race theory and these atrocious programs, there will be more of them than us. So right now, while we still have the power, we have to do things that will make our positions known, like boycotting. Nobody likes to say that, but that's really what it has to be. We don't only vote with our fingers in November. we also have to vote with our wallets all year long. And I was pleased to see that that has actually made an impact, as several corporations that had signed the initial letter talking about the Georgia election law, without reading it, of course, because they'll never read it, they have changed their mind. Companies like Walmart, like Coca-Cola, they have changed their mind and they are not so apt to signing this. They are now changing their position and saying we cannot have fraud in our election. So they're trying to cover both ends against the middle. But it's our impact that is making that happen. And if we don't do that, shame on us. And one of the things that we can do is homeschool our kids. Alex, I know it's not easy, but what would you recommend?
Yeah, I tell people the simplest and easiest and most powerful thing that an average American, a parent or a grandparent can do to protect liberty, to protect our country, to ensure the perpetuation of our civilization, to protect your own family and your own children and your own legacy, is to remove your children from the government's indoctrination system. People say, well, that's hard and that's expensive. Yeah, it is. Okay, I know. I do it. You don't have to tell me. But it's worth it. And it's a lot less hard than living in a totalitarian dictatorship. It's a lot less hard than losing your children, either to drug overdoses or shootings or radical ideology. You know, just talk to any parent of the last 20 years who sent their children to government schools, and chances are very, very good that they have all but lost their children. I mean, go on Facebook. You see, you know, young people, my generation, millennials, saying that their parents are fascists and white supremacists because they like Trump, or they're fascists and white supremacists because they don't support Black Lives Matter destroying our society. And again, the simplest way to guard against this, to protect against this, is to get your children a proper education. And I believe homeschooling is the gold standard for people who can do it. And I think most people can do it. The education establishment has tried to convince us that, there's some special mysterious superpowers that you need to be able to educate children. Baloney, right? Actually, probably the least qualified people to be doing this are the people working in the government's indoctrination system. I'd say they're just as much victims as the poor kids that they're indoctrinating and sexualizing. They don't realize the significance of the evil that's being perpetrated here. Homeschooling is the gold standard if you can do it. I think the data speaks for itself. Homeschoolers do significantly better on every metric than the victims of government schools. If you can't do that, there are a lot of good private schools out there. There are good yeshivas. There's good Jewish schools. There's good Christian schools. There are good Catholic schools, even though, unfortunately, about half of all the Catholic dioceses have jumped onto the Common Core bandwagon. I wouldn't go to those, but there are still a lot of Catholic schools that do it right. So depending on your views, your values, your beliefs, there's got to be a private school that would be suitable for you and for your children. Just do your due diligence beforehand, but make sure that your children are getting a good education. Make sure that they're learning how to read with phonics so that they can access the accumulated wisdom of thousands of years of human existence and civilization. Make sure that they're learning how to do math. Right now, the government schools are telling us math is racist. That's the most idiotic thing I ever heard. Make sure that they're learning real history. Make sure that they're learning real science. Right? You can do 12 years of government brainwashing with the next generation science standards. You'll never hear the term scientific method. You think that'd be pretty basic in a science class, but not anymore. So parents, got to get your children out. Grandparents, talk to your children about getting your grandchildren out. Help them if necessary. Maybe you can volunteer to help homeschool the kids 1 or 2 days a week. Maybe they need a little help with tuition for private school, whatever it is that you can do. That's your future. That's the future of our country. And we're going to lose every battle if we don't get serious about this education fight.
Yes. And I just found out something very interesting that I want to share with you. Go to your school or call your supervisor of elections. It seems as though the schools are now pre-registering the students at age 16 to vote. So it's not that they're voting. It's just that they're being prepared to vote. What happens what happened to a grandmother, a friend of mine. She called me over the weekend and told me, she said, Karen, you're not going to believe this, but in my granddaughter's school, I didn't know they pre-registered her to vote. Well, she was 17 now, and I took her to the Department of Motor Vehicles to get her license, because I promised her that if she had done well in school and gotten into the college, you know, of her choice, and she did, that I would buy her a car. Well, we get to Motor Vehicles and they're ready to give her the license. And the agent at Motor Vehicles said, oh, I see you're registered as a Republican. Would you like to switch that to a Democrat? She said, my granddaughter said yes, and switched her registration. Upon which I said, this is the grandmother saying, I don't buy cars for Democrats. So she said, now my granddaughter is not talking to me because I won't buy a car for a Democrat, and she doesn't understand. But my question is, what right does the school A have to do this when they are supposed to be non-political, and B, the agent at DMV becoming a political agent for the Democrat Party? How is that supposed to happen? We have to be aware of everything, folks. We have to be aware of all things that are going on, because nothing is going to slip by with this crowd. They have their tentacles in every single facet of our lives that you can imagine. And if you want to hear more from Alex, I'm going to let Alex tell you where he can find them. But also at the end of the month in Orlando, the Back to the Future conference will be held at the Rosen Hotel on April 30th. And Alex will be one of the speakers there. Alex is absolutely worthwhile to come and listen to. And you'll have him in person. You'll be able to ask questions. Where else can they find you, Alex?
Well, thank you so much, Karen. I appreciate it. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. People can find me there. People can get in touch with me there. And I kind of post just random thoughts on things, blogging that I do, and articles and columns from people that I find exceptionally interesting. I'm the senior editor at The New American. You can find us at thenewamerican.com, or you can subscribe to the print magazine there. I write very regularly for the Epic Times. I do investigative reporting there, and also some opinion columns, especially focused on education over the last year and a half or so. And we just launched a new organization dealing with education, trying to get children out of the system. It's called Public School Exit, and you can find us at publicschoolexit.com. We've really assembled a phenomenal team. Incredible things are happening. Incredible doors are being opened. And I think the time is right for this. So if any of those things interest you, it's libertysentinel.org, thenewamerican.com, theepictimes.com, publicschoolexit.com. And I write for a lot of different places. I teach, I do a lot of different things, but people can find me using most search engines except Google, because Google is trying to conceal anyone who disagrees with their crazy narrative. And thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. And folks, thank you all for listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen, my guest Alex Newman, and this is the Prism of America's Education.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyone. And I all hope that you have had the opportunity to see that what we are doing is actually working. And by that, I mean boycotting. It seems as though the many of the, quote, retailers and box stores that signed the letter in Georgia condemning the bill that they never read have now pulled out and are beginning to realize, go woke, go broke. So again, we must vote with our wallets as well as with our hands. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. And I brought my favorite pastor, Pastor Rick Stevens, because he adds morality to what we are talking about. And man, we really need morality in this country. I was astounded when I heard that the left is still not satisfied by Derek Chauvin's conviction. And I'm surprised that the judge did not call for a mistrial. And I believe that that is what should happen. Because this was definitely not a fair trial. How can Biden actually come out and tell the people on the jury, you better come up with the right verdict, as well as Maxine, who said that confrontation is in order. And now we're reading that BLM is going around saying, well, we didn't really say to kill all the white people, but that's what we really mean. We have race baiting going on that has filtered into our schools, and it is a shame. It is horrible because we are watching our kids turn on their parents, turn on their neighbors, turn on their friends, and pretty soon they're going to be turning on the white people because that's what they're being taught to do. Hate is an emotion. And you have to be taught to hate. Nobody comes out of the womb saying, I hate black people or I hate white people. It's an emotion that must be learned. And good news is when something is learned, it can also be unlearned. And that's what we have to do. We must pay attention to what is going on with our children in school. What do you think, Pastor Rick? Do you think the American people are waking up? I won't say woke up. I would say waking up.
Well, I think we need to pay attention, and I hope people are beginning to pay attention a little bit more. And you're right about we need to all bring a moral perspective. And what I mean by that is we need to bring a perspective that realizes that some things are right and some things are wrong. We have a transcendent view of that, that we don't get to decide what is right and wrong. The Creator decides what's right and what's wrong. And we just need to pay attention and line up to what that which is right and that which is wrong. Clearly, in the things that are going on, there are all kinds of evidences of right and wrong. Clearly, it's wrong for any public official, and you mentioned this, to come out and ahead of a jury trial, ahead of a verdict, to pronounce what that verdict should be, what the outcome must be. We've always believed in this country that we were innocent until proven guilty. And there have been plenty of instances where it appears that people have done terrible things, but we still give them the presumption of innocence. I remember in Florida a few years ago, there was a mother who was on trial for the life of her son or daughter. I think it was a daughter now. And the jury did not convict her. Well, people were really upset about that. And I understood that. And people would say to me, well, how come and all this? And I said, well, when I looked at what was going on, and I didn't look at it in great detail, but I paid attention to the evidence in that particular case. And I said to those people, I said, you would not want your son or daughter convicted of murder based on the evidence in that case. Now, she may not have been mother of the year, I said, I don't know, but we got to follow the rule of law. We've got to follow the evidence, and we can't have influential people making statements ahead of time that you better come up with this verdict or else. That's a morally reprehensible perspective. And all of us who care about justice need to care about that, because justice is just that. It's an objective evaluation of the evidence to come to a conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt. And we can't have people influencing that with threats of riots or any kinds of outrageous statements, or we lose our whole sense of justice, and we will never have justice again.
Well, one of the things that we have to always be aware of is that communists thrive on chaos. They look for this kind of disorder. They like people to be fighting against each other. Why? Why would you say that, Karen? If I fight with you, then I'm certainly not fighting with them. So we have to determine who is our enemy. And that is the one that we should be fighting. And by fighting, I mean talking, withholding our cash, withholding what where we shop, where we go, and working with people that have similar ideas that we have, and befriending them and talking to your kids, because all too often the parents are the last people to know what's going on in school, because you come home from work, you rarely have a chance. By the time you're done, your kids are going to bed and that's the end, and you don't even get to say what happened in school today. We have to be doing that. I was really shocked to see when I was reviewing the character standards in Florida's new best standards that not once did they mention the family. How can you build a strong character if you don't work within your own family? Do you think that's possible, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think you've hit on a very important point there, because family is important. And here's the tip that I would give to parents when you're thinking about the education of your children and how the school is conducting itself, how the teacher is handling class, what they're teaching. If at any point you begin to sense, or maybe you outright discover, that the school is trying to separate you from your child or your child from you, then that needs to be a giant warning sign that something is wrong, because clearly it is a moral evil to separate a child from that child's parents. And we as parents need to be vigilant about that. I don't think I paid enough attention to that, because I never imagined that it would go on. But I did have one of my children come home from school one day and say to me and to the child's mother, that I don't have to do what you say. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. Well, I didn't make more of it than need be at the time, because I was pretty sure what was going on. But I've thought about that a lot over the years. And I should have, if I had realized the state of education then, like I do now, I should have immediately contacted the school and say, what's going on? Why are you telling my child they don't have to do what I say? Because that's clearly an attempt, and the child clearly recognized it. This is leverage to separate me from my parents, and I don't have to do what they say. Well, we didn't have bad children. We don't have bad children today. But that was a giant wake-up call. And so I would say to parents today, if there's anything going on that appears to be separating you from your child, you need to check out what's going on at school and respond to it vigorously and get to the bottom of it, because you can't let that go on. I believe from the things that we've been seeing that there's more of that goes on than most of us recognize. So I think the parents need to be very vigilant about that.
Well, one set of parents was very vigilant, and Tucker Carlson last night read a letter from them that they sent to their child's private school. And why am I emphasizing private school? Because this is not just going on in public school. You have to be aware of what your child is reading, what they are learning, and make the decision to get your kid out of school, period, if that's your only option. They are better off sitting home with you and learning for 2 to 3 hours a day than being indoctrinated into learning how to hate, because that's what's going on. And this is a very, very sad thing. Did you get a chance to look at that letter, Pastor?
I did. It's a chilling wake-up call for parents everywhere. This father is a hero, a national hero for this insightful letter that he wrote and for the decision that their family made to withdraw their daughter. This private school, Brearley School, is a private all-girls school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. It cost $54,000 a year for a student to attend that school. And this father's daughter had been attending that school since she was in kindergarten, had been there for 7 years, and he finally realized what she was being taught about all of the so-called diversity things, all of the indoctrination of one kind or another. And he had had enough and said this was absolutely teaching his daughter the wrong things. Now, I think this guy's a hero for pointing this out and for making the decision to get his daughter into a better environment. But I want to mention this to parents who are listening. This is not the exclusive problem of private schools. It's not the exclusive problem of public schools. It's a problem in education in general. I think it's a problem from what I've seen from the low young elementary grades through the 12th grade, even into college. Our students are subjected to these things. Now, here's the problem for parents. And a lot of parents will hear us say this and they'll say, oh, it's not happening to my kid. I haven't seen any evidence of this. Well, here's how I want you to think about this so you can be a little bit more vigilant. When your third grader, let's just pick a grade, goes to school, you tell your third grader to behave themselves, to listen to the teacher, to learn, to do their work, to do all of the things that we were told when we went to school. And we all tell our kids to do that because we want them to learn. We want them to learn how to read. We want them to learn how to write. We want them to learn how to do arithmetic. All of those things we expect the school to teach them. So when our students go off to school hearing us tell them to listen to the teacher, to pay attention to their lessons, to do their work, to behave themselves, the student hears us say that, goes to class, and when the teacher teaches them something, they believe that we, their parents, are behind that, and we want them to learn that. They don't have either the experience or the breadth of knowledge when they're young to understand whether what they're being taught is good or bad, right or wrong. And so they just absorb it. I heard a teacher say recently that a friend of hers was teaching a lesson on George Washington, and to her horror realized as the lesson unfolded, and this was a mandated lesson, she was required to teach it, that her students went away from that lesson hating George Washington. Well, that's outrageous, but the kids didn't know any better because that's what the teacher taught them. The teacher found out, wow, this is bad material, had no choice. I don't know what the teacher did going forward. Your son or daughter, when they come home from elementary school, don't know to tell you, I hate George Washington. They don't know to tell you George Washington's a terrible guy. Well, if they did know to tell you that, you'd get a clue real quick to check on it. So my reminder to parents is your children don't know how to sort out the good stuff and the bad stuff. They don't know how to find the berries and separate the stems out. They need our help. And parents, I want to strongly encourage you to pay more attention than you ever have to what your child is being taught. I don't want you to be unnecessarily suspicious, but you need to make sure that your child is being taught the things that you want them to learn. And you may be surprised to find what this father found, that they're not being taught that, that they're being taught to hate themselves because of racial stuff. They may be finding that they're being taught to hate the country because of a distortion of history. You just don't know what's going on. And a lot is going on. Lots of people say that's not happening in my school, and I hope it's not happening in your students' school. I really do. But I want to make sure you're aware that it's happening in a lot of schools, in a lot of places that nobody would expect. So pay attention to what they're being taught, learn what's going on, and when you find a problem, don't just assume, well, that was a one-time thing. Follow up and make sure that that stops, and you can find out what's really going on.
Absolutely. And part of the problem is we see that this goes not only in school, because as these kids grow up, they learn not to look. Look at what just happened with our election. There was not one court that says, I will look at the evidence. What they said is, oh, if I don't look, there isn't any evidence. Fortunately, Mike Lindell has now opened his new website called frankspeech.com. Go on there and make sure that you view his latest video called Absolute Interference. This is something that we must share, because if we do not look, then we will be subject to the same thing happening over and over and over again. And we have to put pressure on our legislators and our courts to make sure that our elections are fair, because if our elections are not fair, then what kind of a country will we have? We will have a communist country, which is the goal. So we'll talk about absolute interference next week, because I feel it is of utmost importance, especially when you realize one of the counties that they had just started working on in New Hampshire opened up their polls with every single machine starting out with 300 Biden votes. Think about that, folks. And they said that this has been going on throughout the country. And in all of this going on, the states are finally, finally beginning to realize that there's something wrong. A little bit too late, but at least they are realizing it now. So what goes on in school shows up in government later on. And if we don't correct what's going on in school, what kind of a government do we think that we are going to have? It's a very scary thought. Pastor, I am, again, I can't believe how quick the segment has gone. Would you close us out with prayer? That would be a great way to start and continue this glorious day.
I'll be happy to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the children you entrust to our care. And one of our concerns is what will happen to them as they are raised and shaped. And I pray for the many courageous teachers out there who want to do the right thing, that you would be with them, many of them under enormous pressure to conform to a predetermined outcome, a prescribed curriculum. I pray that you'd give them grace and courage to handle these days. And I pray for our children that you would protect them from evil of all kinds, evil ideas, as well as the evil intentions of people. I pray for their parents, that you would give their parents real wisdom and insight to understand what's going on and the ability to find a best way for their kids, not just to settle for the way that seems apparent, but the right way, the best way. And I pray for our nation that you would not let us to slip into oblivion, but that you would help all of us to preserve the gift of liberty you've given us, to defend the gift of liberty you've given us, so that we can remain a free people now and forever. Amen.
Amen. I want to give a shout out to the Florida Citizens Alliance. We have done an amazing job. Bill 545 was not passed. It was passed with an opt-out instead of an opt-in, but at least the new curricula and sex education will be exposed. So that is a wonderful thing, even though it didn't go exactly as we want. And I also want to tell everyone I will be speaking at the conference, at the Freedom Speaks Conference, Back to a Future, at the Rosen Plaza International Hotel in Orlando on April 30th. I hope you can join me. We are going to not only have wonderful speakers, but we are going to have a breakout session and training session for the beginning of people who want to run for school board. America, it must be a participation country. We must participate in our government if we are going to change anything. And if this election has taught us nothing, it should have taught us that. Folks, it has been a pleasure as always. This is Karen Schoen and Pastor Rick Stevens with the Florida Citizens Alliance. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. Thank you all for listening. See you again next week.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me.